Cities outside North America. Message to be translated so all nations can receive the truth. A great work is committed to those who present the truth in Europe. There are France and Germany, with their great cities and teeming population. There are Italy, Spain, and Portugal, after so many centuries of darkness, open to the Word of God, open to receive the last message of warning to the world. There are Holland, Austria, Romania, Turkey, Greece, and Russia, the home of millions upon millions, whose souls are as precious in the sight of God as our own, who know nothing of the special truths for this time. A good work has already been done in these countries. There are those who have received the truth, scattered as light bearers in almost every land. But how little has been done in comparison with the great work before us. Angels of God are moving upon the minds of the people, and preparing them to receive the warning. Missionaries are needed in fields that have yet been scarcely entered. New fields are constantly opening. The truth must be translated into different languages, that all nations may enjoy its pure, life-giving influences. Colporteurs are meeting with encouraging success in the sale of our books. The light is thus brought to the people, while the colporteur, who in many cases has been thrown out of employment by accepting the truth, is enabled to support himself, and the sales are a financial help to the office. In the days of the Reformation, monks who had left their convents, and who had no other means of support, traversed the country, selling Luther's works, which were thus rapidly circulated throughout Europe. Colportage work was one of the most efficient means of spreading the light then, and so it will prove now. Some countries easier to work than others. Certain countries have advantages that mark them as centers of education and influence. In the English-speaking nations and the Protestant nations of Europe, it is comparatively easy to find access to the people, and there are many advantages for establishing institutions and carrying forward our work. In some other lands, such as India and China, the workers must go through a long course of education before the people can understand them, or they the people. And at every step there are great difficulties to be encountered in the work. In America, Australia, England, and some other European countries, many of these impediments do not exist. America has many institutions to give character to the work. Similar facilities should be furnished for England, Australia, Germany, and Scandinavia, and other continental countries as the work advances. In these countries, the Lord has able workmen, laborers of experience. These can lead out in the establishment of institutions, the training of workers, and the carrying forward of the work in its different lines. God designs that they shall be furnished with means and facilities. The institutions established would give character to the work in these countries, and would give opportunity for the training of workers for the darker heathen nations. In this way, the efficiency of our experienced workers would be multiplied 100-fold. 1900. Australasia. Cities of Australasia to be worked. Repeatedly during the last 5 years, it has been presented to me that a great work is to be done in the cities of Australasia, that the present is a favorable time to work, and that no time should be lost, and recently light has come to me, encouraging us to put forth greater efforts in Sydney, Melbourne, and Brisbane, and indicating that the time has come for us to enter Newcastle and its surrounding towns. Several small companies were presented to me, and with them two larger companies that were stretching out their hands imploringly, saying, "Come over, and help us. We are starving for the bread of life." Health evangelism work to be leading edge in Australia. The medical missionary work promises to do more in Australia than it has in America to open the way for the truth to gain access to the people. May the Lord's people now heed the invitations of God's opening providence, and realize that it is an opportune time to work. Health institutions provide character to work in new fields. At our meetings in Australia, lectures on health subjects were given daily, and a deep interest was aroused. A tent for the use of physicians and nurses was on the ground, medical advice was given freely and was sought by many. Thousands of people attended the lectures, and at the close of the camp meeting the people were not satisfied to let the matter drop with what they had already learned. In several cities where camp meetings were held, some of the leading citizens urged that a branch sanitarium be established, promising their cooperation. In several cities the work has been started, with good success. A health institution, rightly conducted, gives character to our work in new fields. And not only is it a benefit to the people, but the workers connected with it can be a help to the laborers in evangelistic lines. In every city where we have a church, there is need of a place where treatment can be given. Among the homes of our church members, there are few that afford room and facilities for the proper care of the sick. A place should be provided where treatment may be given for common ailments. The building might be inelegant and even rude, but it should be furnished with facilities for giving simple treatments. These, skillfully employed, would prove a blessing not only to our people, but to their neighbors, and might be the means of calling the attention of many to health principles. 1900. Work to radiate to many lands from Australia. In their efforts to carry forward the work on solid lines and to enter new territory, our brethren and sisters in Australasia have made gifts and loans to the utmost of their ability. In times of great stress, the Lord has moved upon men and women both in Australasia and in America to acknowledge their stewardship by advancing means to help in establishing the institutions being built there. Those who have come to the help of the Lord in this way have been laying up treasure beside the throne of God. Notwithstanding the dearth of means, much has been accomplished by the laborers in Australasia. Stern battles have been fought. Nothing but the miracle working power of God has accomplished the work that has been done. We saw His power as we advanced from point to point, and we praise Him with heart and soul and voice. Oh, how we appreciated the loving kindness of our God as He led us on step by step. Australasia is a divinely appointed center, from which the light of present truth is to radiate to many lands. There comes to us from far off lands the cry, "Come over and help us." Some of these unentered, unenlightened fields are not too easily reached, and perhaps not so ready to receive the light, as the fields within our sight, but they must not be neglected. We are to push the triumphs of the cross. Our watchword is to be, onward, ever onward. Our burden for the regions beyond can never be laid down until the whole earth shall be lightened with the glory of the Lord. Melbourne, Australia. People living in Australian cities to be warned. Our third Australian camp meeting was held in Armidale, a populous suburb of Melbourne, about 3 miles southeast from the center of the city. During the early part of the year, our brethren had planned for the meeting to be held in Ballarat, a city of 30,000 people, about 90 miles north from Melbourne. There is a faithful little church there that needed strengthening, and as the Australian conference is in debt, it seemed desirable to hold the meeting where it would be less expensive than in Melbourne. But the Lord has been giving me light about the work to be done in our large cities. The people in the cities are to be warned, and the message should go to them now. The time will come when we cannot work so freely in the large cities, but now, the people will listen to the message, and this is our time to work most earnestly for the people in the centers of population. Many will hear and obey, and carry the message to others. The interest which began to be awakened by the camp meeting held 2 years ago in Brighton should be carried forward by a camp meeting in some part of Melbourne each year. When our brethren took these things into consideration, they decided that the meeting should be held in Melbourne, and in their search for a ground were led to locate in Armidale. The first plan was to locate the meeting at Northcote, where it would be convenient for our brethren and sisters. But the Lord hedged up the way at Northcote, and led them to a locality convenient to densely populated suburbs where the message had never been given. During the meeting we have had abundant evidence that the Lord has been guiding both in the location and in the work of the meeting. A new field has been opened, and an encouraging field it appears to be. The people did not swarm upon the ground from curiosity, as at our first meeting in Brighton, and as at Ashfield last year. The majority came straight to the large meeting tent, where they listened intently to the word, and when the meeting was over, they quietly returned to their homes, or gathered in groups to ask questions or discuss what they had heard. Sanitariums needed near every large city. For a long time, the Battle Creek Sanitarium was the only medical institution conducted by our people. But for many years, light has been given that sanitariums should be established near every large city. Sanitariums should be established near such cities as Melbourne and Adelaide. And when opportunities come to establish the work in still other places, never are we to reach out the hand and say, "No, you must not create an interest in other places," for fear that our patronage will be decreased. Sydney, Australia. Work in cities will result in many souls saved. There is a work to do all over the world, and as we near the time of the end, the Lord will impress many minds to engage in this work. If you, Dr. Daniel H. Kress, are able to use your influence in setting in operation the work that needs to be done in Sydney, many souls will be saved who have never yet heard the truth. The cities are to be worked. The saving power of God is to go forth through them as a lamp that burneth. Experienced managers needed to guide and unify evangelistic efforts. There is now more decided work to be done in Sydney and the vicinity. All the suburbs are in a better condition to be worked than at any former period, and the advantages now presented in doing medical missionary work need more calculation and experience brought into the management of the work. There are many branches that will grow out of the plant now made in Sydney, and every line of work needs experienced managers, that part may unite with part, making a harmonious whole. Why do sports events create more excitement than do promises of God? The world is full of excitement. Men act as though they had gone mad over low, cheap, unsatisfying things. How excited have I seen them over the result of a cricket match? I have seen the streets in Sydney densely crowded for blocks and, on inquiring what was the occasion of the excitement, was told that some expert player of cricket had won the game. I felt disgusted. Why are not the chosen of God more enthusiastic? They are striving for an immortal crown, striving for a home where there will be no need of the light of the sun or moon, or of lighted candle, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign for ever and ever. They will have a life that measures with the life of God, but the candle of the wicked shall be put out in ignominious darkness, and then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. 1896. England. Work in England not to be neglected for other work elsewhere. It seems to me that the necessity of the work in England is a very important question to us in this country. We talk about China and other countries. Let us not forget the English-speaking countries, where, if the truth were presented, many would receive and practice it. England greatly neglected. There is a great work to be done in England. The light radiating from London should beam forth in clear, distinct rays to regions beyond. God has wrought in England, but this English-speaking world has been terribly neglected. England has needed many more laborers and much more means. London has been scarcely touched. My heart is deeply moved as the situation in that great city is presented before me. In the city of London alone, no fewer than 100 men should be engaged. The Lord marks the neglect of His work, and there will be a heavy account to settle by and by. If the workers in America will impart to others of their great mercies, they will see prosperity in England. They will sympathize with the workers who are struggling with difficulties there, and will have the heart to say, not only in word but in action, "All ye are brethren." They will see a great work done in London, all through the cities of England, and throughout the different European countries. 1900. London, England. A great work to be done in London. London has been presented to me again and again as a place in which a great work is to be done, and I have tried to present this before our people. I spent 2 years in Europe, going over the field 3 times. And each time I went, I saw improvement in the work, and the last time a decided improvement was manifest. And oh, what a burning desire filled my heart to see this great field, London especially, worked as it should be. Why have not workers been sent there, men and women who could have planned for the advancement of the work? I have wondered why our people, those who are not ordained ministers, but who have a connection with God, who understand the scriptures, do not open the word to others. If they would engage in this work, great blessing would come to their own souls. God wants his people to work. To every man, and that means every woman, also, he has given his work, and this work each one is to perform according to his several ability. Army of workers needed to evangelize London. Let no one suppose that the work in London can be carried forward by one or two. This is not the right plan. While there must be those who can oversee the work, there is to be an army of workers striving to reach the different classes of people. House-to-house work must be done. This work we have done in Australia, and we have seen the salvation of God as this work has been carried forward. No timidity, the Lord's business requires haste. There is need of zeal in the church, and wisdom to manage that zeal.
U. E. J. Wagoner have made altogether too tame work of saving souls.
If you would see a work done in London and the surrounding cities, you must have a united, irresistible force, press the battle to the gate, and plant the standard firmly, as if you meant that the truth should triumph. The timidity, the cautious movements, have been faithless, there has been little expectation of results. The fact that things move slowly in England is no reason why the great missionary work shall move slowly to meet men's habits and customs for fear of surprising the people. They need to be much more surprised than they have hitherto been. The Lord's business requires haste, souls are perishing without a knowledge of the truth. Germany. Hygienic restaurants and sanitariums needed. In foreign countries, many enterprises that require means must yet be begun and carried forward. The opening of hygienic restaurants, the establishment of sanitariums for the care of the sick and suffering, is just as necessary in Germany as in America. Let all do their best, making their boast in the Lord, and blessing others by their good works. German emigres urged to support school in Germany. My German brethren and sisters in America, this message is given to me for you. God has his faithful ones in Germany and in all the other countries where Germans have scattered. Consider how much good you might do, how many people you might help, by selling the German edition of Christ's Object Lessons, doing all you can by your labor and by your means to share in the expense of establishing and carrying forward the school work in Germany. Scandinavia. Outside support needed, but local members are to do their utmost. I appeal especially to our brethren in Scandinavia. Will you not take hold of the work which God has given you? Will you not labor to the utmost of your ability to relieve the embarrassed institutions in your field? Do not look on in despair, saying, "We can do nothing." Cease to talk discouragement. Take hold of the arm of infinite power. Remember that your brethren in other lands are uniting to give you help. Do not fail or be discouraged. The Lord will uphold his workers in Scandinavia if they will act their part in faith, in prayer, in hopefulness, doing all they can to advance his cause and hasten his coming. Let a most earnest effort be made by our people in England to inspire their brethren in Scandinavia with faith and courage. Brethren, we must come up to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. Remember that the nearer we approach the time of Christ's coming, the more earnestly and firmly we are to work, for we are opposed by the whole synagogue of Satan. We do not need feverish excitement, but that courage which is born of genuine faith. 1900. Time has come to enlarge the work in Scandinavia. There is a work to be done in Scandinavia. God is just as willing to work through Scandinavian believers as through American believers. My brethren, bind up with the Lord God of hosts. Let him be your fear, and let him be your dread. The time has come for his work to be enlarged. Troublous times are before us, but if we stand together in Christian fellowship, none striving for supremacy, God will work mightily for us. 1904. There are more openings than workers to meet the needs. Sweden has as yet had but little labor, and the sound of the truth has reached but few ears, yet it is a good field, and earnest, persevering effort should be made to extend the knowledge of the truth. Calls are coming in from Norway, Denmark, and Sweden for meetings to be held in the large cities, where a few have already been raised up. We look at these cities with pain that we have not more missionaries to send to them. The few who have received the truth in different places are left almost without help, when they should be visited often, and educated to become workers. The openings are many, but where are the laborers? In Sweden, most of our brethren are poor, and as they look at appearances, it seems impossible for them to do much to sustain and extend the work. But in the early days of the cause in America, similar difficulties had to be met. Scandinavian countries are promising fields of labor. The condition of some of these churches had been presented to me in years past, with many things showing that Denmark, Norway, and Sweden were promising fields for labor. We knew that a great work lay before the missionaries in this field. 1886. Character of work judged by how it is presented to the public. In Örebro, Sweden, as well as in Copenhagen, Denmark, I am convinced that we might have had a good hearing if our brethren had secured a suitable hall to accommodate the people. But they did not expect much, and therefore did not receive much. We cannot expect people to come out to hear unpopular truth when the meetings are advertised to be held in a basement, or in a small hall that will seat only 100 persons. The character and importance of our work are judged by the efforts made to bring it before the public. When these efforts are so limited, the impression is given that the message we present is not worthy of notice. Thus, by their lack of faith, our laborers sometimes make the work very hard for themselves. 1886. An easy religion popular. We are told that the people of these countries will be pleased with our discourses if we dwell on the love of Jesus. Of this they never tire, but we are in danger of losing our congregations if we dwell on the sterner questions of duty and the law of God. There is a spurious experience prevailing everywhere. Many are continually saying, "All that we have to do is to believe in Christ." They claim that faith is all we need. In its fullest sense, this is true, but they do not take it in the fullest sense. To believe in Jesus is to take Him as our Redeemer and our pattern. If we abide in Him and He abides in us, we are partakers of His divine nature, and are doers of His word. The love of Jesus in the heart will lead to obedience to all His commandments. But the love that goes no farther than the lips is a delusion; it will not save any soul. Many reject the truths of the Bible, while they profess great love for Jesus, but the Apostle John declares, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." While Jesus has done all in the way of merit, we ourselves have something to do in the way of complying with the conditions. "If ye love me," said our Savior, "keep my commandments." 1886. Copenhagen, Denmark. Honest-hearted souls despite the secular society surrounding them. Copenhagen seems like Athens in Paul's day. The pursuit of wealth and pleasure engrosses the attention of the people. Atheism is popular. Eating and drinking, dancing and merrymaking, are the subjects of thought and conversation. There are many large and beautiful churches, but the people, like some of the Athenians, are worshipping an unknown God. There is no lack of doctors of divinity, of learned preachers, but they are ignorant of Bible religion. It seems a difficult matter to awaken an interest in religious things in these large cities, and yet there are many honest souls in them who will yet accept the light and reflect its rays to others. Copenhagen is sending missionaries to convert the heathen in far-off lands, when there are multitudes of her people who are as truly ignorant of God and His Word. Men with the spirit of Paul are needed to preach Christ and Him crucified. 1886. The work beyond. Millions living in Africa and Asia still need to hear the gospel. In Africa, in China, in India, there are thousands, yes, millions, who have not heard the message of the truth for this time. They must be warned. The islands of the sea are waiting for a knowledge of God. In these islands, schools are to be established to prepare students to go to higher schools within reach, there to be educated and trained, and sent back to their island homes to give to others the light they have received. 1909. The whole world has an equal claim with us to God's mercy. The whole world is opening to the gospel. Ethiopia is stretching out her hands unto God. From Japan and China and India, from the still darkened lands of our own continent, from every quarter of this world of ours, comes the cry of sin-stricken hearts for a knowledge of the God of love. Millions upon millions have never so much as heard of God or of His love revealed in Christ. It is their right to receive this knowledge. They have an equal claim with us in the Savior's mercy. And it rests with us who have received the knowledge, with our children to whom we may impart it, to answer their cry. 1903. Despite the odds and difficulties, the world still must be warned. There is in every city and every suburb a work to be done in presenting the last message of mercy to a fallen world. And while we are trying to work these destitute fields, the cry comes from far-off lands, "Come over and help us." These are not so easily reached, and perhaps not so ready for the harvest, as the fields within our sight, but they must not be neglected. We want to push the triumphs of the cross. Our watchword is to be, onward, ever onward. Our burden for the regions beyond can never be laid down until the whole earth shall be lightened with the glory of the Lord.